Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host right here on the Raw Deal, Revolution Radio, this Studio B, this 8th day of March 2024. I expect to be joined by my regular co-host on Fridays, John Carman, and have a featured guest, Michael Keane, who will join us at the bottom of the hour. Of course, the topic is with which we begin is a State of the Union address. Biden may not be willing to build a wall to keep America safe and maintain our national security, but he was willing to have a wall built to keep Americans away from the Capitol for the State of the Union. I'm not quite sure what he may have feared. Meanwhile, protesters shut down his route to the Capitol. These were pro-Palestinian, anti-genocide protesters that should be virtually the entire population of the United States. It delayed his speech by 30 minutes, but it had the effect of putting the GOP response back further, delivered by a freshman senator from Alabama. Have no doubt, the man who spoke at the State of the Union was a body double. I have a nice report from a colleague. My dentist insists this is not Biden, who has expensive veneers. My dentist says this guy has bad teeth and different facial structure, eye color, earlobes, shorter nose, less prominent chin, etc. Every member of Congress knows they were listening. They were listening to a fake. He doesn't need a cognitive test. He needs a DNA test. Sorry for the repetition, but the press keeps everyone ignorant. Better to have a commander run for president whose bite is genuine. John, I don't know if you were able to look at the images I sent you, but this is pretty obviously not the real Joe Biden, who by my best account actually died in 2017 and has been replaced by body doubles ever since. Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I just got on the air here. Yeah, I took a quick look, and every time I look at people, especially with my border background at U.S. Customs and 15 years at 4 to 5 million humans, the ears are what usually gives it away. Not everybody's ears are the same, but the point is when you look at the guy's ears on one picture on the left, then you look at the one on the right, they're different, okay? And normally when you get older, your ears will elongate because they're still growing. So if you compare an earlier picture, like 40 years ago or something, they might not be as long, but they're not going to cut off at the lobe, down at the bottom. They're not going to be cut off like straight across. Some people are curved. Some people have a little hangy down part there. You know, like I think some famous cowboy actor said. But
pendant. They're called pendant lobes, ear lobes. Yeah,
hanging exactly. Down. Yeah, I look.
The real Joad had them, but the fake Joad doesn't. They got them directly connect to the side.
Well, that's but the one way it'll give it away because they think people are stupid. If you look at the cartilage, that's the key to give it away. I've been doing research recently on Howard Hughes, and they claim that he died in 1976 at the age of 70. Wow, I'm 70 right now, you know, and I know you're a little bit in the same range, so. They claimed he didn't have a kidney machine, but he was the richest man in the world. But yet, when you look at the pictures, they avoid the left ear on pictures. In fact, I had to go to great lengths to find a couple of photos with his left ear so I could identify him. And when you compare it to some of the other stuff where their characterizations, they didn't have current photos. That's because they were getting ready to hide him out. So that's another bit of research I've been doing. So he actually went to Alabama, lived there for several years, married to another woman, and they still aren't good on the photos. So they're always giving it the edge that you can't quite prove it, but all you need to do is look at the ears, you know?
Good, good, good. Trump was fact-checking Biden in real time. The first is very mixed. He's done nothing for Israel compared to what I've done, Trump wrote, when Biden claimed to be the most pro-Israel president in American history. Of course, I regard that as a major negative. With a border the number one issue in the presidential primary exit polls, Trump noted it was not first and foremost in Biden's America. Biden talked about Snickers bars before he talked about the border. It took him 40 minutes to get to immigration. And then said nothing about it. He also noted Biden interrupted his speech by coughing. Don't shake people's hands going out. He keeps coughing into his right hand, knowing the media pool field was favoring views of Democrats clapping, not showing the Republican side, because, of course, they were all seated and unimpressed. As he's getting ready to cough again into his right hand, the fake new media rushes him off the screen. He rejected Trump's remarks on the Second Amendment, warning of gun grabs and the Biden administration permitting crime to run rampant in Democrat-run cities throughout America. He's talking about violence, but migrant violence is leading to the worst crime wave in history. I agree with those critiques. Meanwhile, we had Tucker Carlson also addressing, to my surprise, Tucker gave kind of a mini response to the State of the Union, which he described as the darkest and most un-American State of the Union ever. Let's hear a bit of what Tucker had to say. Here's a clip.
Good evening and welcome to the Tucker Carlson Network live. Well, that was quite an experience watching that. You know, you think of Joe Biden as a doddering old man, a guy who can't remember when his son died or when he served as vice president. Of course, that's exactly who he is, and it's on display every day. But Joe Biden is also a cruel and vicious demagogue, a man who has no problem at all denouncing his fellow Americans or putting his political opponents in prison, as he has done. And that was all on display tonight. That was possibly the darkest, most un-American speech ever given by an American president. In fact, it wasn't a speech, it was a rant, entirely lacking in decency or generosity to his fellow Americans.
Yes, I think Tucker's correct. He has further thoughts about it. In fact, I expect there's quite a lengthy presentation by Tucker you can find online. But I have a bit more here I want to share. Here it is.
And so what this means is that underneath all of the talk is a dire political reality. Joe Biden can't win. In a fair election, Joe Biden will lose in November. He cannot win. That's the thing that nobody in any media wants to say out loud. In a fair election, Joe Biden cannot win. So they're saying the opposite. Here, for example, is the pregame analysis over at MSNBC, which we watch while waiting for Biden to dodder up to the stage, waiting for the amphetamines to take effect. And keep in mind, as you watch this analysis, these are supposedly the smart kids. These are the smart kids, the ones with complicated glasses. These are the ones the White House looks to for guidance. And here's their analysis of Joe Biden's skills. Watch this.
This seems like a weirdly, like, a counterintuitive hot take, even though it's the most obvious thing you could say, which is that Joe Biden is good at politics.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Like, Joe Biden is good at politics. He's very good at politics. Like, the man really does know what he's doing, and you really see it in those sort of situations.
Joe Biden is just really good at politics. It's the one thing he's really good at.
Really?
If Joe Biden is so good at politics, why is he losing to Donald Trump, who the rest of us were assured was a retarded racist who no normal person would vote for? But now Joe Biden is getting stomped by Donald Trump, but he's also at the same time good at politics? Right. Chris Hayes, ladies and gentlemen, the most famous lesbian in television. So, again, they can't win, but they're not giving up. So what does that tell you? Well, they're going to steal the election. And we know they're going to steal the election because they're now saying so out loud. Here is the Attorney General of the United States, the chief law enforcement officer of this country in Selma, Alabama, just the other day. Listen to this.
The right to vote is still under attack. And that is why the Justice Department is fighting back. That is why one of the first things I did when I came into office was to double the size of the voting section of the Civil Rights Division. That is why we are challenging efforts by states and jurisdictions to implement discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot, including those related to mail-in voting, the use of drop boxes, and voter ID requirements. That is why we are working to block the adoption of discriminatory redistricting plans that dilute the vote of Black voters and other voters of color.
Did you catch that? Of course, you're a racist. That's always the takeaway. But consider the details of what the Attorney General of the United States just said. Mail-in balloting, drop boxes, voter ID requirements. The chief law enforcement officer of the United States government is telling you that it's immoral, in fact, racist, in fact, illegal, to ask people for their IDs when they vote to verify they are who they say they are. What is that? Well, no one ever talks about this, but the justification for it is that somehow people of color, Black people, don't have state-issued IDs. Somehow they're living in a country where you can do virtually nothing without proving your identity with a government-issued ID without government-issued IDs. So they can't fly on planes, they can't have checking accounts, they can't have any interaction with the government, state, local, or federal. They can't stay in hotels. They can't have credit cards. Because someone without a state-issued ID can't do any of those things. But what's so interesting is these same people, very much including the Attorney General and the administration he serves, is working to eliminate cash, to make us a cashless society. Have you been to a stadium event recently? No cash accepted. You have to have a credit card. In order to get a credit card, you need a state-issued ID. And somehow, that's not racist, but it is racist to ask people to prove their identity when they choose the next president of the United States.
Yeah, I think Tucker's spot on. Colonel McGregor is, if anything, even more concerned.
I am Colonel Douglas McGregor, combat veteran and former senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense under President Trump. As chief executive officer of Our Country, Our Choice, I want to respectfully present an alternative view of the State of the Union. The Constitution, our nation's guiding light, mandates that the government promote the general welfare, a charge that obligates Washington to secure the basic necessities of life, energy, food, and shelter. Regrettably, the current administration is failing to perform these tasks. The current administration claims the gross domestic product is booming, but much of it comes from government spending and employment. The government share of gross domestic product in the United States today is 42%, including federal, state, and local spending. This outrageous share is similar to what it was in the Soviet Union in the late 1980s before the collapse. Rampant inflation stemming from this government share of the economy makes it difficult for families to buy nutritious food. A dozen eggs, which could be bought for less than $1 in 2019, now ranges from $2 to $4 today. With price increases of over 100%, in the same period, a median household income increased by a mere 9%. High mortgage interest rates jumping from 2% to 7.5% in less than 3 years places the dream of home ownership out of reach for too many Americans. Our national security is compromised. Unstable supply chains leave many store shelves empty. Our power plants and manufacturing facilities lack key spare parts. Ill-conceived domestic policies result in job losses and homelessness. The pursuit of misguided foreign military interventions has not only drained our resources, but also imperiled our hard-won energy independence, subjecting Americans to rising fuel prices and foreign influence. Today, the government employs an estimated 2.87 million people. If we include federal contractors, this number balloons to between 12 and 25 million. All of these events occur against the backdrop of a national sovereign debt that has skyrocketed to $34 trillion. Even worse, we are currently adding another $1 trillion to national debt roughly every 3 months. It is impossible to drain the swamp with unsound money and a colossal debt that we cannot sustain. Tragically, D.C. Beltway politicians are controlled by the so-called donor class. This form of corruption is enabled by a cancerous central banking system. With privileged access to capital, this ruling class orchestrates endless wars, enriching themselves and their cronies while sending our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines to serve in foreign lands of marginal strategic interest to the United States. Meanwhile, open borders are allowing millions of illegals or migrants to flood into our country. This uncontrolled influx is straining our resources, overwhelming our communities, and destroying our prosperity. Reckless calls to defund and punish the police are crippling law enforcement. Officers are underfunded, undermanned, and unable to protect our citizens, making our cities unsafe for all, especially women, children, and the elderly. Open borders cannot be divorced from an explosion of criminality never before seen in the history of our country. The number of Americans dying from illegal drug or fentanyl overdose is over 100,000 each year, much of it trafficked through the wide open southern border. There are more than 26,000 homicides each year, according to the FBI crime statistics. This is likely an undercount because in the last 2 years, more than 40% of police agencies did not report data because of a change in the system the FBI uses under political pressure. The number of missing children each year is estimated at over 800,000, which works out to be over 2,000 children every day. This alarming statistic is worsened by the overt sexualization of our children in public schools. Our children are our future. They should be protected, not exploited. Washington has also spent $14 trillion on various Middle East wars over the last 23 years in a series of self-defeating military interventions. More recently, Washington spent hundreds of billions of dollars on an unnecessary war with Russia, with little to show for it except higher prices for millions of Americans at the supermarket and the gas pump. Trillions were also wasted in the aftermath of the engineered COVID disaster, enriching the laptop class, Silicon Valley, Wall Street, and big business, while American workers, small business owners, and independent contractors were destroyed. Trillions have been wasted on unreliable green energy, with metals mined in Africa and processed in China, while destroying American jobs and ignoring our domestic resources. The bottom line is the state of the union is not strong. In fact, it is fragile and deteriorating. The question before us is, where does America go from here? Consider the following actions that should be taken as soon as possible. First, We must secure our borders, our airports and harbors. Defending the United States and the American people must be our top priority in national defense. Second, unless the United States itself is attacked, we must avoid unnecessary conflict. Prosperity at home demands peace abroad. U.S. national security must not be hostage to foreign interests or their domestic agents inside the United States. Third, we must restore the rule of law inside our country. We must remove activist judges who fail to uphold the Constitution and who release violent criminals and illegals into our country. It is time to revisit the practice of judicial appointments for life. Fourth, an effective American military establishment demands merit-based selection and promotion. Fundamental reform to reduce overhead and maximize fighting power is vital. Today, we have 43 four-stars for 1.1 million soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. In 1943, when 12 million men were serving, we had only 7 four-stars. However, strengthening our nation's security and restoring the rule of law are only part of the equation. We must also focus on revitalizing our economy and harnessing American innovation to secure our prosperity for generations to come. We must restore energy independence to America as soon as possible, with a mix of resources including natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind. We must reinvigorate American agriculture and incentivize family farmers and producers. We must outlaw foreigners and vulture capitalists from buying American farmland, securing access to food and our national independence. We must repatriate advanced manufacturing to the American heartland, maximizing the use of 3D printing, artificial intelligence, and robotics. To staff these jobs for the future, we must make public education a path to employment. American companies and individuals must be given one-time tax exemptions to bring trillions of dollars back to the United States. We must act swiftly to pare down the staffing of federal government agencies. Elon Musk eliminated 70% of woke staff at X, formerly Twitter, with no loss of site performance. We can do the same with our bloated bureaucracy. We must audit the Federal Reserve. They have failed in their mandate to maximize employment and maintain price stability. Lastly, cutting spending will not arrest the destructive impact of the national sovereign debt. We must restructure the debt to regain productivity and financial stability. Ultimately, we must reclaim our birthright as a free and sovereign people. We must restore the American dream for generations to come. We must renew our faith in our country. It is time for a course correction, ladies and gentlemen, a return to principles that have guided our nation through its darkest hours. We must recommit ourselves to the ideals of representative government, where the elected officials are truly accountable to the people they serve. Elected officials and bureaucrats who put foreign interests over American ones must go. Our nation's future depends on our unity and resolve to put America first. Only through such a renewed commitment can we restore the promise of a nation where every citizen has access to affordable energy, nutritious food, and secure shelter. The self-styled ruling class of globalist elites must not be allowed to enrich themselves at the expense of the American people. My fellow Americans, the road ahead is arduous, but our cause is just. Our cause is the return of prosperity at home, equality before the law, and peace abroad. Let us march forward, united in our pursuit of a more perfect union where the blessings of liberty are shared by everyone. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Now there, Colonel McGregor, in 10 minutes, made a masterful summation of where things stand today. Whereas Biden went for an hour and a half, and it was just malarkey, it was boring, it was tedious, it was dark, as Tucker observes, un-American. Let me add, Colonel Gregor has also tweeted I do not think we'll get to the 2024 election. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like what he had to say, and I've tried to contact him before. But apparently there's a lot of stuff people don't realize behind the scenes. Everything that he said is correct and accurate up until the point where I start digging deeper and getting the intel about where they're stealing the money. So the Democrats will help Democrats, just like this thing about the identification card for these other people that don't have it. That's so they can go out and be imposters and vote 10 times under the Obama election, which one lady bragged about. And Obama had the gall to actually invite her when she committed 10 felonies. So you can't go out and vote more than once, folks, on a national election and other elections. It's illegal. But the money that they're providing for the Democrats are given to special interest groups. They divvy out the money because you're registered to vote as a Democrat. And if you change your votes to Republican to Democrat and still wrote in the actual candidates, you'd still work that way. But they're doing an intel thing. Registrar voters in the state of California actually admitted that they've got codes that they can look at. So when Kamala Harris was senator, she could look up your information online, whether she wanted to help you or not. See what I mean? That's all that they think we're all that stupid. So that's how that works. And then I'm not being helped. They're stealing my Social Security. I'm age 70. People are going, my God, John, you contributed. You worked in this country. You were born here and everything else. It doesn't matter because I'm a Republican or a whistleblower, and they don't like that. So they're stealing the money. Right now, the Social Security Administration gave me a negative decision yesterday on the last hearing. They will continue to keep giving hearings and do nothing about it. I have to get an attorney to sue them in federal court. That's what they force you to do. So the system is geared towards failure. And I did reach out to McGregor, and it's sort of a political organization. I asked for help, but I didn't get anything back. So he's basically just out there talking about support. They just got rid of Ronnie McDaniels, and then Laura Trump just stepped in as the assistant RNC.
Thanks, John. We'll be right back and joined by our special guest today, Michael Keane. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you. join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm very pleased to say we are joined today by Michael Keane, who's been doing research in areas that he wants to share with us. Michael, welcome to The Raw Deal. John Carman is with me here today. Give us the lowdown on what you've been investigating and what you've turned up.
Hello, John. Hello, Dr. Fetzer. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Hello back.
Well, what I did was search for in a virus in some single word variety. Propaganda
mislead everybody. There is no such thing as coronavirus because it is a fictional origin construct that's fashioned in what are known as duplex pools of Escherichia coli feces bacteria. And this is the substrate that is used to create what I have placed copyrights in, is a bio-illogical weapon tantamount to, well, it's actually, it's genocide. And it originates in these microorganisms that are added into these pools of Escherichia coli feces bacteria. So this is core in a virus, four words as opposed to one word. And I'm starting to show that this is a construct that is done essentially the same way that they assembled Frankenstein, same way that Mary Wollstonecraft Shelley assembled Frankenstein. These are DNA from 10 separate species that are placed into this bio-illogical duplex, this feces construct as I described it. And as these pieces are put together, they're sutured together just like the parts from Frankenstein. In nature, they have no correlation, no relationship to one another. And this is the nature of core in a virus. And most people know it as QAnon. This is the origin to QAnon, core in a virus. It is a biological weapon. I term it as bio-illogical because it makes no sense. And it also manages to make it's creating genocide. So QAnon is the core in a virus. QAnon is a protein in the original construct that is the spine against which all of the other constructs use it as a template. So I have pictures of it. And I've taken some of the microorganisms as they present, and I've made them into, I think they're fairly easy to understand, kind of pictographs, like memes. Because as you might imagine, nobody wants to read these scientific journals, and I've read encyclopedias of these things until I finally came to the conclusion, I don't need a PhD, I don't need a doctor to anoint my findings, because it's a synthetic. There is no doctor necessary in any analysis of this at all. This is a synthetic that is crafted in 1973 in Bristol University, UK. And it traces to 14 proteins that act as evidence. And this is how they actually describe it. They describe it as evidence. Because these are man-made, these are laboratory-manufactured genes. And genes, as you may or may not know, govern the function of how it is that proteins are created and how proteins are meant to signal and activate DNA, whether it's a duplex of species bacteria or, now since they've imported it into the human construct, the genome of the human. Genome is another name for the complete catalog of a specific species and the DNA relation. So in this particular instance, as I said, QAnon is a spine created in 1973, and the spine has 70 ribs. And those 70 ribs are manufactured gene. Each of the ribs is a gene. And I'll show you the interpretive tool so you can look right at it. It's almost like playing a crossword puzzle when you figure it out, because the amino acid wheel helps to demonstrate what the DNA are that are involved. And each of these ribs is a triptych. It's a three-part digest of DNA. So there's three pieces of DNA, creates one amino acid. Each of those amino acids are genes. They're man-made genes. And each of those man-made genes are 70 ribs that occupy the QAnon spine. QAnon spine from 1973 is anonymous because it is a personal communication that is unpublished work, and it's next described as unpublished data. QAnon is, as I said, Microcystis aeruginosa. I have a picture of it. As it is Microcystis aeruginosa, it goes through some name changes because they're trying to conceal what it is. So I'll take it from the top. Core in a virus is the spine, that is QAnon. QAnon is, in its original template, Microcystis aeruginosa. It is one spine that acts as a template for nine others that follow. And each of those spines is 70 ribs. Each rib is three parts of DNA. And each of those three parts of DNA are deciphered into one letter of amino acid. And each of those amino acids double as laboratory-prepared genes. The entire construct is synthetic. You don't need to understand chemistry. It helps. And for a while, it stymied me. I've been studying this for 3 years, sometimes 12 hours a day. But you don't need it. Because once you find the reports that are associated, and I went to the Copyright Clearing Center to make certain that as I acquired these reports, that no one could tell me, well, you just found these on the internet, and they really don't mean anything. That's not true at all. Each of these reports is copyright, has copyright. And what I've done, come on this program, is the first thing I've decided to do was to read a kind of a disclaimer. And this copyright, and I'm going to read that now. So this copyright disclaimer under Section 107 of the Copyright Act 1976. Allowance is made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research. Fair use is a permitted by copyright statute that might otherwise be infringing. Nonprofit, educational, or personal use tips the balance in favor of fair use. And so I've added to that, it is also true, Slappington's, which is my website's under construction, but I've entered copyrights into the public forum, that this is in fact the core on a virus is a fraud. It is 70 laboratory concocted synthetic genes circa 1973. And I started down this road with my copyright the day after Luc Montagnier appeared on French television to explain that he had discovered HIV/AIDS again. He is the what's considered the origin in the discovery of HIV/AIDS. So in his appearance on French TV in January, roughly, of 2020, he came forward and he said that the coronavirus, the one-word version, which we now know is a lie. So frankly, he didn't really do anybody any favors. But he was trying to give a nod in the right direction, trying to say that the alphabetical sequences are really what's at the bottom of this. And he references the what's known as the republish in perpetuity, which I don't want to name her on the air because I haven't spoken to her yet. But she and I, she talked me into a phone call to the Indian doctors that prepared the pre-publish in perpetuity. And what that means is it is essentially is being is saying that this Indian study that went forward on January 31st, 2020, which I got copies of early on, Montagnier nods towards it. He says, well, those guys figured it out. And there's actual pictures and there's actual DNA links that tie directly to Anthony Fauci's NIH. DNA is used in murder trials. There are 55 DNA that are called out, and then they're called out again as 28 DNA. And across each of these call-outs, they don't deviate. That means they're made in a laboratory. This entire thing has been understood by there's no doubt the research doctors know that this is a laboratory construct. It didn't escape from any it might have escaped from a Chinese lab. Montagnier takes issue with that. He says the Chinese didn't do it. And you can watch the video. I'm going to link it on my website. But the point is this. When the research doctors and when the chemists and when the pharmaceutical doctors characterize these bacteriological, bio-illogical weapons, they use a word in front of it. And that word is novel. And they know amongst themselves, once they employ that word, they're describing a synthetic. Because what they're saying to each other is that we know that this is novel, which means it's of fictional origin. They've been lying from day one. And they've been putting novel in front of HIV/AIDS. You can look it up. They call it novel retrovirus. And they put novel in front of the phony one-word version, which is propaganda, coronavirus. It's actually, as I said, core in a vial. So Montagnier was one of the first people that I uncovered when I first looked at it. And the woman I was telling you about before, we tried to reach out to the doctors to see why they pre-published and why they wouldn't stand for their work and say exactly what it is that they knew. And since then, we've discovered that there's all sorts of coercion and everybody's trying to conceal everything. So in my disclaimer here, I'm putting forward, as I began to say, is also true. Slappington has uncovered a number of criminal violations. The public has a right to know, particularly because the participants, a conspiracy and material fact, are in the habit of deploying fictional origins in novel, quote unquote, quasi-scientific jargon. These are the descriptions of the PhDs and the research doctors, and I characterize them as italicize them as their description, because this is their creature. And it is one colossal fraud in 10 parts. There's also an 11th part, which I will explain should we have time for that. I have pictures of it. And again, once I show you these alphabetical sequences, I'll say it again because it bears repeating, because this is new to a lot of people. It's taken me a long time to develop a narrative. So the point is, QAnon is the core in a virus. QAnon is Microcystis aeruginosa. QAnon is the original spine from 1973. It has 70 ribs in it, and it is called QAnon because this construct, characterized by these PhDs, is unpublished work. It is unpublished data. It is the product of personal communication. So this is the jargon in 10 parts. And my disclaimer continues. This jargon exists using an alphabetical protein A and protein C sequences. Anyone familiar with AIDS, A-I-D-S, and take those capital letters and begin to determine that they are, in fact, also the word, the jargon these guys are using, for autoimmune disease, because they are one and the same. And this is the origin of what anyone who's familiar with oxidative stress in AIDS, it is the substrate to AIDS, and oxidative stress is the substrate to autoimmune disease, because it is the same 10-part QAnon core in a virus creature. And this is the 11th part. I won't go into it too far because once you see it, you're gonna have an aha moment. I don't want to rob everybody of that. I'd like to show you a picture of it. So here's my point. This is C-reactive protein. So in my disclaimer, I was saying this jargon exists using an alphabetical protein A and protein C sequences. Each of these proteins are these amino acids, as I described. They are among the 70 ribs. And in order for the C-reactive protein to gain purchase in the human construct, in the human genome, in order for it to be present, in order for C-reactive protein even be there in the first place, a laboratory-manufactured synthetic, it goes under the name, well, it's an alias. It goes under the name Anabaena flos aqua. And that's what the doctors characterize. Listen to this. It's a no-stock species. They admit that there's no such thing because it's novel. It's fictional origin. But they create it as protein A in order to activate C-reactive protein. The doctors have manufactured the substrate to all, and I'll say it again, all autoimmune disease. It is C-reactive protein. The doctors used their original construct, which is acquired immune deficiency syndrome. I have a picture of the D fish, believe it or not. You look at it and you say, they're actually calling these things D fish. D fish in C proteins, efficiency, autoimmune deficiency. These guys are playing word games and they're caught. So the jargon exists in these alphabetical A proteins and these C sequences. I have a document where it's coming out of Australia in 2007. And in the document, they're admitting that these constructs, which are found consistent across the files that I've assembled, and there's what I call the triplet on the front end, and then there's a triplet on the back end. I try to keep these things in threes because that's how these guys reference them. But here's the point. Of those ribs that I described, which are all amino acids, and we've already discussed that A has to be there. That's a manufactured gene, and you'll see it on the wheel when I show you how to decipher it. And then the C gene. But they call that these guys go back and forth. They call them proteins and genes. They're fond of playing these word games to mix everybody up. But in their own words, they're saying that these things are in evidence. That's the word they use, evidence. Evidence is material fact as it pertains to a crime. And the document from Australia from 2007, as I started to say, explains that these chemical variants in the coRNA virus, in the QAnon, in the original template from 1973, they are this is their word, illegal. They're admitting it. And they're naming the portions of these genes that are found in both sets of triplets, the front-end triplets and the back-end triplets. Okay, well, that's a little confusing. So here, let me tell you. This is about a Canadian Journal of Medicine, essentially, session. It's kind of the first of its kind. So they call these things accession numbers, and they copyright them and so on and so forth. I don't blame them. It's hard work. In the meantime, in the Canadian Journal from 1976, here's what they're calling the substrate to QAnon, which, as I said, is coronavirus, which, as I said, is the original template. But here's what the Canadian Journal calls it. And as I say this, I would hope that the reader would keep it in the back of their mind that what I've done is I've created a copyright. And it is the core in a virus. Core in a virus. Because it's a protein, as we said, right? In other words, C-reactive protein will not gain a purchase and it will not do what it's supposed to do unless A is there first. So here's what, and then I also said, it's a four-word legitimate description, core in a virus, while certain people are using the propaganda version, coronavirus. And when you use words like that right out in the open, had a conversation with Dr. Fetzer some time ago. He said what they're doing is they're framing a conversation. In other words, they're misdirecting it. He's right. So we were discussing coronavirus, one word is a misdirection. CoRNA virus didn't come along until I put a copyright on it, right? Now, here's what the Canadian Journal calls it. And we're talking about propaganda, as I said. The Canadian Journal calls it Spin A, one word, capital S-C-I-N-A-E. And that's what the nature of the subunit substrate is. Now you can get into all sorts of crazy terms and get everybody distracted. Here's what we're talking about. We're talking about a subunit to the QAnon spine, because the spine has these 70 genes, right? And these 70 genes are responsible for mutating and variations and interspecies commingling. And what they're doing is they're creating oxidative stress through the use of, ready for this, COVID. And the COVIDs are, think about ID. So if you want to think about COVID as one word, if you look at the way that the researchers and the doctors and so on and so forth, they always call it novel COVID. But look at how it's spelled. Capital C, small o, capital V, and then IDF, lowercase. So what they're doing is they're talking about a cooperative construct in the letter V. And as I started to say, these are vesicles and vacuoles, which are blisters and rashes of blisters that have now been brought into the human genome, and they are fashioned in protein A, which is also gene A, right? And the A protein is reactive to C protein. So the vesicle is a single blister, OV, single blister, and the vacuole is essentially a seed pod, a delivery of these blisters. This is what is known as the cytokine storm. Because as these blisters are activated, they have been raised to activate and nourish in radioactive yeast from 1973. This is Difco yeast. It's referred to as the cat. A feline. Cat is a feline. Think about that for a second. These individuals have been concealing fictional origin infectious diseases, referencing the cat because it's part of the way that this mechanism distributes itself through the human body. Now, I won't go into it at this call, but I used the cat to experiment on myself, and I documented it. So I know that my research is correct. These vesicles and these vacuoles, which are the COVIDs, are completely unnatural in the human body. And this is why Dr. Dalgleish, who's the international Scottish oncologist, needs to, at some point, I have to speak to this individual. Because what he's explaining, turbo cancer. This turbo cancer is QAnon. It is the coronavirus. It is microcystis. It is a spine in spin A from the Canadian. That's what they describe it. So the spin A works with spin in protein. You can look it up. So they're spinning. They're framing the conversation. They're creating propaganda and misdirection in the core in a virus. They're calling it one word. It's a lie. They know it's a lie because they put the word novel in front of it. It's fictional origin. And to help conceal their lie, as I described it, QAnon is the coronavirus. QAnon is Microcystis aeruginosa in its original template. Sometime after the original template, and recall, it is a personal communication, it is unpublished work, and it is unpublished data, hence my characterization of it. It is intended to be anonymous. And in this anonymous queue, are you there?
Commercial break.
We'll be right back with Michael King.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide
if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer here with John Carman and our special guest, Michael Keane. Michael, you've been, I think, exceptionally clear about your research findings. I do have a couple of questions of clarification. Number one, you use a term QAnon as though it were part of a structure of a virus or other entity, where, of course, that phrase is commonly used to refer to a political source claiming to have an inside understanding of Trump's politics and tactics. Is that purely a coincidence, or is there semantic significance here that is not obvious?
What these individuals are doing is, they never expected, in my analysis, and this is me for 3 years now looking at this, the people that have generated this never expected that they would run up against such significant resistance. So as I was speaking to Dr. Fetzer a while back, he was saying that misdirection and propaganda is part of a frame. So the frame that I'm describing is a bio-illogical weapon. It is using a spine where they have concealed a Q protein. It's meant to remain anonymous. So what they're doing is they are intentionally clogging the communication channels. It is not a disparagement of the people who are supporting in the sense that QAnon is a political movement that is meant to restore the American people and to support President Trump, for example. It is, at the same time, a propaganda against the day that someone stands up and says, hey, wait a minute, this is a construct of this biological weapon I've been describing, and it is meant to be an anonymous Q that is fashioned in an English laboratory. And the word Q in English, or I should say the word Q in English, the word for line, the English use the word Q, the Americans use the word line. This is a line of 70 ribs in a biological weapon. It is a Q in the microcystis areaginosa core in a virus spine. So that's where I'm coming from. I'm not trying to disparage the what I'm trying to say is that they're intentionally trying to misdirect and confuse the issue so that there's not going to be receptiveness on some portion of the population to agree, perhaps, with what I'm saying, if they might have some sort of idea already that this is a political discussion. It's not. And that's what I'm trying to point out.
Let me add that I appreciated your remarks about the word novel in this context, because I've encountered it in many discussions about the coronavirus being a novel and so forth. And I think you have hit it on the head that means it's actually fictional or synthetic or fabricated or made up. Now, your denial of the existence of the coronavirus seems to be echoed by many, many others. In other words, and you would not be the first, I presume, to have made that allegation. There must be at least six or eight others. Whose work in your research have you found most valuable in contributing to your understanding, who takes a fundamentally similar stance as do you?
Well, I've been looking at this from the primary document. And while I agree that not all doctors are in on it, let's say, for example, and I don't want to come across that way, it makes me sound paranoid, perhaps delusional. That's not the point. What I am saying is this. The minute that the research doctors or anyone with a chemistry background as a PhD puts that word in front of HIV/AIDS, retrovirus, and then puts that same word, novel, in front of the single fictional variant, coronavirus, they're admitting it's a synthetic. So I can speak to my own experience, which is, as I tried to move forward with this, I was deplatformed, and then a bunch of shenanigans went forward, where a lot of well-meaning people were trying to get to the bottom of it, and what they did is they deferred to the doctors. And of course, sure, this is their area of expertise. And as I watched them repeatedly not telling the truth, I elected to go in the opposite direction. I went directly to what I considered to be the evidence, and I have found it. And my research is significant because I can show pictures and I can demonstrate what they mean without a whole lot of carrying on, and I can link them to the source document. So it's really immaterial what someone's opinion of me is, or my politics, or possibly I'm paranoid and delusional, or who knows what. It's not the point. The point is that these guys are saying in their own words, it's synthetic. It's a fictional origin. And it goes across, there's 10 spines in the original template, and then there's another spine in the C-reactive protein. So for me, once I went on Ark to Midnight, I should say. And as I was there, I was brought in by two D-Day calendar, two Doomsday calendar. You might know him as Todd Calendar. Now, he told me that I was going to meet him on Mary Fanning's program, Ark to Midnight. He was going to ask me questions, and I would answer them. He was a no-show. He never bothered to show up. I showed up. I think he expected that I would fall on my face. This is some 3 years ago. And I feel that I disappointed him because I actually named the 7 bacillus in my original findings. And I also named Saccharomyces cerevisiae, which is the brewer's yeast. The brewer's yeast is raised to interpret and become nourished and activated in microwave radiation, cell phone radiation, your laptop, your Wi-Fi. These bacillus are trained to develop a yield of 2,400 times what could be expected in the natural world once electromagnetic frequency is applied to them. So when I went on to the program and I explained these bacillus, I also explained that Escherichia coli is considered non-pathogenic because it cannot invaginate. It cannot absorb other pathogens into its outer shell. And as you probably know, invagination implies delivery. This is a Trojan horse construct. I explained it on that program. When I had a bit of a anxiety attack, I said, where's Todd calendar? Where's 2D-Day calendar? Where's 2Doomsday calendar? Where is he? Well, he's off, and he sent me his appeal, and I read it. And I told him it's not acceptable because he's placed a stumbling block in the legal machinery by creating a religious deferment for the special forces guys he was representing. This is a biological weapon. There's no reason to paint it in any other light. It is a synthetic, fictional origin novel. You really don't need to go further far afield than that to explain.
Mike.
Go ahead. Did I cut you off?
No, you go ahead. I was asking, who among all the others out there doing research in this area are closest to your position in relation Well, there are a lot of people deny the existence of virus. A lot of people affirm it's a bioweapon. So it seems to me that.
Go ahead.
But it seems to me your stance is the conjunction of those two positions, and that there are a lot of people with overlapping views. I was just interested in locating you in relation to them.
I'm right at the front of the line. I put a copyright on this on April 18th, 2020, and I was explaining it in social media, and I was explaining, and in that first round, in my first analysis, I explained this is a bioweapon, and I explained its genocide, and I explained its hemolytic anemia, because it is. I am the first one in the door to say it. There's absolutely no doubt about it. So when I went on the program with Arc to Midnight and Todd Callender, 2D-Day Callender, didn't show up, I started to try to figure out who is this guy and what is he doing? And I found an article, The Ghost in the Machine, and I spoke directly to the investigator in Texas. And he sent me his report, and I vetted him, and he's correct. And this is Todd Callender, who claims to be representing the Cotswold Group in the Bahamas. He claims to be running 266 businesses from his storefront. That's impossible. The article explains that this individual is claiming that he's affiliated with a Catholic church that has never heard of him. He's claiming that he is affiliated with an Indian reservation that has never heard of him. So I started to look at this as my analysis from the gate. I didn't look at what anybody else was saying at that point. I looked at what I felt in my gut, and because I had been approached on some federal filings in an unrelated matter, I had become conversant with Charles Lieber. And if you like, I'll give you a moment to respond, but if you want to know who Charles Lieber is, I'll explain it. But here's what I'm saying. I'm the first one to say this. I'm the first one to describe it a bioweapon. I'm the first one to describe its genocide. And knowing that against the day I'm going to have to defend my remarks, I went right to the source papers, and I became a student of this. I've been doing this sometimes 12, 14 hours a day, reading these documents, and I have winnowed them down to the triplets, three on the front end, three on the back end. And I, unlike everyone else, can point to the spines and the ribs and tell you what they mean. I'm the only one doing that. So if you have something that you further, let me know. If not, I'll explain who Charles Lieber is.
Well, let me invite John to offer his comments and reflections on what you've had to say. John.
Oh, good. I was just sitting here looking at a bottle of Lysol, you know, and you know how that went when everybody thought about cleaning the last couple of years. COVID-19 virus, it kills the germ, and on the backside, it actually spells it out with the labels, and I had to highlight it. Kills the SARS hyphen, capital C, lowercase O, capital V, dash 2, which is SARS hyphen COVID-2. So, you know, and I agree with what Michael's been saying all along, and I've done investigations even in law enforcement and as a private investigator. We have to deal with stuff crossing the border, so I had FDA cross-train designation on top of U.S. Customs. But I've actually worked cases where they were DNA-related, like flaxseed. I'll give you an example of the actual case, where somebody in Canada wanted to get a sample of flaxseed in the United States, I won't say where, and they wanted to compare it because they were making an allegation that there was a DNA theft of the seeds. And what Michael's talking about is when you're registering certain things, copyrights, they do copyrights even on things in nature. So if they alter the seed to grow a different flax seed in a certain part of another part of the world, then that's what they're trying to do. In relation to the COVID-19 thing, it is a bioweapon. I've talked about that for years because the people in the United States were lying during the Obama administration about 36 labs over in the Ukraine. Oh, no, no, it's actually 46. Oh, no, no, it's actually 75. So it's obvious what they're doing. I know it gets technical after a while, but I'm sitting here going, yeah, the ribs on the DNA, if we're talking about the same stuff, I'm taking selenium every day just to try to repair my DNA. Maybe Michael could kind of relate and explain in more layman's terms the stuff about the structure of the DNA, if that's what it's related to, and if it isn't, then it's a lot different at a different cellular level. Because we got 46 chromosomes if you're a male, female, human. And if you're not, then your chromosomes are going to be different. But they're going after certain people, specifically in Russia, based on the chromosome, based on the DNA, based on the bioweapon that they're using, to even go after certain racial groups. That's what they're doing. It's into the alien Area 51 level. Michael?
Go ahead. Thank you, John. I appreciate what you're saying. So here's the beginning of even your reference to flaxseed tampering. Every time that there is to be some sort of enhancement, and some people get, and again, the communication channels are clogged, gain of function, and all these other esoteric terms. Here's the point. All of these variations, whether it's flaxseed or what I'm explaining, are gas blisters, vesicles, and vacuoles. They have man-made genes. So, to speak directly to the DNA, these man-made genes are in 700 ribs across 10 spines. I can point to them, and I can say, here they are, and they're manufactured in the Bristol, UK lab. They are then linked to the lab in Massachusetts, and they are then linked to the lab in Marburg. These are the same DNA, and they are found in the pre-published in perpetuity study that was done by the Indians. This is the exact same DNA. So it is the exact same murder weapon in HIV/AIDS as it is in autoimmune disease. There's no question. Hey,
Michael, can I interject real quick? Did you say Indians like American Indians or Hindu-Pakistani Hindu Indians?
In India, over in
India. And, oh, okay.
It's funny, John.
We tried to call
them, and it was very difficult because even when they were speaking English, we had a tough time with it.
And it was a late heavy call. Accent.
It's tough. But here's the point. The individual that is the origin of HIV/AIDS has explained, you will find the DNA in the Indian's research paper. That is the source material. That's where I started. That's where I went. Mm. I didn't listen to anybody else. I didn't, and I am the first one out the door that said this is a bioweapon. I'm the first one out the door that said this is genocide. And to be honest with you, the reason I'm adamant about that is because I've had a lot of people that have been trying to essentially rob me and dumb down my information.
That's typical. They try to damage you or debunk you. And you know,
right. And yeah, so look at Todd Callender. What did he do? Todd Callender came into this. He listened to what I was saying. He internalized it, and he started to spread it to others. And my jaw was hanging open while another person associated with this guy was using some part of my analysis as if he had discovered it. So, okay, let's.
That's called plagiarism.
Yeah, exactly right. So, exactly right. So now, while that's going on, he's gotten himself in a position in the 10th Circuit writing an appeal for the Special Forces guys, and he's creating extra work. This is not a religious deferment. This is a bioweapon. And for people to begin to progress in this conversation, setting aside what I'm saying for a moment, this is the reason why the genocide is crafted. And I'm going to give you a very clear example. The genocide is crafted because the pharmaceutical companies have already won a case in law that says the pharmaceutical companies own the DNA of the victims that took the injection. That's a case that they've already won.
Wow.
Okay? So guess what? When you see Klaus Schwab walking around up in Davos talking about restoring the trust, does anybody really think that we want to consider him to be, hey, you know, we're going to give him a pass. He's just all warm and fuzzy and we forgive him. He's restoring the trust. That's not what he's talking about. John, he's not talking about that at all.
So these people seem to be making a lot of money with the pharmaceutical.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. They took life insurance policies out on the victims before they started to administer the vaccines. I'll say it again. The reason that they are so forceful in this bioweapon and the application of it is because they took life insurance policies out. That's the trust.
It's all about the money.
That's right.
Well, by the way, I'm holding a box from India, and I have contacts in India too. Ivermectin, and I was telling people for over 3.5 years about the ivermectin, so I would get it from people in India, and you know, like IndiaMart.com, just throw it out there. In the United States, they would charge you $300 for 200 pills. In India, you can get 1,000 pills, 12 milligrams each, for about $75. Okay. Then Biden blocked it at the border, even though Customs is the lead agency, because we're cross-trained 40 different agencies. So that means I've got to have a lot of background right there. But he says DEA is going to block it at the border. So if you ordered it, they may catch it once in a while, but you're still entitled to get the ivermectin. Ivermectin, if you haven't already done the research, and I'm thinking you may have if you looked at any of this stuff, Nobel Peace Prize back in what, in the mid to late 80s, and it was the perfect drug for it, and it works. It works, and yet other people are going through doctors to get a small, minuscule amount of it, which does nothing until they actually take a full 10-tablet protocol for 10 days, 12 milligrams a day, and I'm not a doctor. There's my disclaimer. I'm just highly trained, but they don't want us to know this information, you know?
No, because they want to collect the
exactly.
Life insurance policy. They put the life insurance policies against what is known as your Best We AV Trust.
Hmm.
When everyone registers a birth certificate, a Best We KV Trust is created.
That's about $2 million this week, isn't it?
Well, the Sestwe KV Trust, I'm 61. So when the Sestwe KV Trust went forward to bond me as an infant with the expectation that the bond would run to 18 years, at which point I could claim my minority certificate, right? because they place $1 million for a person my age as the bond on the birth certificate. The quote-unquote government, and the reason why Donald Trump is, in my view, constantly under assault is because he's not an attorney. Because this system is controlled in a closed system that all of these people have agreed upon beforehand. So this is what's known as the Sestwi KV. It stems from the Unum Sanctum bond that was created in the Vatican in 1302. It then becomes part of the scenery in 1666, and then it finds its way into the United States. And in the Organic Act of 1871, a phony U.S. corporation is created. And we have Joe Biden, who is a head of that phony corporation. So the people that need to become more sophisticated in this discussion need to understand that our constitutional rights have been stripped. They don't exist as of 1871. Our Bill of Rights do not provide any protection since 1871.
I believe it.
The Declaration of Independence is a curious document because what they're saying is you have the right to life. That was not an organized anti-abortion movement in 1787. They're saying that you have a right to life because the Sestwi KV Trust are established in the understanding that you are already a deceased person that is lost at sea. It is a construct of British maritime law.
Exactly.
That's what's going on up in Davos, because they're trying to restore the numbers.
Hang on, Michael, and we're going to open the call lines for calls, area code 608-957-8727, 608-957-8727, right here, Michael, John, and me.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Michael, I know at least one caller has a very keen interest in what you had to say here. Paul, join the conversation with me and John and Michael.
Well, thank you once again, Professor, for being on the air and hosting an interesting show, an interesting discussion. I will actually honestly say that the very last part, which I don't want to get into, but you know, this idea of the trust and admiralty law and, you know, your corporate fiction person and so forth is far more interesting and it requires a show or two in and of itself. However, let's start with this whole concept of virus, which, again, it just keeps coming up over and over and over again. Now, you may or may not recall, but I clearly do, that in March of 2020, when this all really got going, I said on the air, and I was really the first, and I'm not claiming any special, you know, credit for this, but on your show to say that the whole thing was made up, okay? I said it's a snipe hunt, and you may or may not recall me using that term, and we all know what, most of us know what a snipe hunt is. I essentially made the claim that there's nothing new or novel, that there's nothing to be afraid of, it's all bullshit, okay? And in fact, I specifically called it Jewish bullshit. And as you recall, Jim, perhaps when I said on the air that later on, a few months later, I got fired from my job at Safeway as a delivery driver because I said that it was all a Jew lie, okay, in front of my supervisor and another coworker. All right. So having said that, okay, here's the problem that I have with many of the things that your guest has said. Now, the underlying concept, the foundation of so-called virology is that a virus exists, which I've never, you know, denied. The whole idea that people claim viruses do or don't exist, I feel is a false discussion. All right. So what is it they say a virus is and what is it they say it does? Okay, that's of interest. And if you're to believe the mainstream science or medical explanation, a virus is some sort of a construct, okay, a piece of RNA or DNA with various protein code, and that supposedly the mechanism of action is that it tricks the cell into replicating it. Without a host cell, the virus cannot replicate because they supposedly don't have sexual or asexual reproduction. So in a classic sense, it's not a living, quote, organism. Now, there's a lot of people that reject this notion that the virus is any sort of an organism at all. It's just a particle. I probably would tend more towards that camp. But what is far more interest to me is this idea that there aren't any studies that prove any of the claims that virus is a contagion, okay, or that it's transmissible and that it causes illness. And if we all remember correctly, this whole notion of a asymptomatic carrier, okay, or that all these people that had a positive COVID test, but they did not have symptoms, they were not ill. None of that makes any sense. If a virus makes you ill, then it's probably going to make you ill in varying degrees based upon what? the strength of your own immune system, or, you know, the strength, or what they call the virulence of the virus. But in the end, okay, all these claims, in my opinion, have been absolutely marvelously deconstructed and debunked by many such people as Thomas Cowan, Dr. Mark and Sam Bailey, Stefan Lanka, et cetera. In fact, in my opinion, the only really clear understanding you need of all this nonsense is a great video still on BitChute called Pandemic Theater, The History of the Infection Theory of Disease. Okay. Or, for example, spend a little bit of time. You don't have to read the whole thing, but just read substantially in Virus Mania. It's a PDF you can read online, a book called Virus Mania. Or spend a little time at whatreallymakesyouill.com and watch some of the videos they've done about their book by the same title, What Really Makes You Ill. I have not read the book. In my opinion, I don't need to. I think that you can come to certain conclusions. You can know things without being an expert. And as far as researching in scientific journals, medical journals, and, you know, so forth, I will make this claim, and other people have made it. I'm just repeating it. The medical journals are full of fraud. Many scientific journals and articles are full of fraud. People that contribute to these journals have been caught over and over faking data, including manufacturing things out of whole cloth. So I'm going to state my position. I don't believe in the bioweapon. I've never believed in the bioweapon. I feel that if they wanted us to be afraid of a bioweapon, they wouldn't tell us about it. It's kind of like if they want you to be afraid of mosquitoes, I don't think you should believe them if they're telling you to be afraid of mosquitoes, right? You should probably be afraid of 5G. If they're telling you to be afraid of 5G, then I think that maybe you should be afraid of something else. Whatever it is they tell you to be afraid of, in my opinion, you're on solid ground to conclude the opposite. So that's my opening statement for the moment. Thanks.
Well, that's great, Paul. I love it. I want to go to John first and then come back to Michael. John, give us some of your thoughts about...
I was listening very carefully, and I pick out certain keywords. Some of them might be buzzwords. As soon as I heard the thing about the mosquito, yeah, Paul's right on that. It's all about fear-mongering, but they do have bioweapons labs. They've been doing stuff for years and experimenting, but it's like the thing about the AIDS. I said, wait a minute, remember when AIDS was a big deal? Well, what if you got bit by a mosquito who previously bit a person who was infected with AIDS? My God, that means you're going to get AIDS, see? So it's a transfer of one cells to the other cells to the body, unless there's some other expiration or your immune system blocks it anyway. And I'm not a rocket scientist or a DNA specialist, but I do a lot of research. But it just seems like the same thing over and over again. It's all fear-mongering, deep state stuff, be in fear, constant fear. And they get their energy off of that. That's another spiritual level. But we're being lied to about even the stuff that they do put out there. And that's part of it. They have to tell us what they're going to do before they do it. That's part of the fear-mongering. And I ran into people for the last several years, standing in line with a mask, do the six-foot rule. I get all that. But when they start to enforce the control issues over everybody, oh, you can't come in unless you wait in line. Then they have to check you. It's tightening down the noose on our freedoms. It's just another lie to progress into the communism that we're already in that people don't seem to understand. There was a really good movie with, barbed wire. I hate to refer to it because Pam Anderson was in it. She's a hot looking lady. But in those days, they were getting down to the restrictive travel. You had to have a passport. If you don't have a passport, they're going to get your DNA. They're going to get your blood. They're already doing it right now. And they're going to get retinal scans. And when I went into that procedure at the DMV, so you could be federally approved, they wouldn't accept an expired U.S. passport. I'm an American citizen, top secret clearance, and protected presidents, for Christ's sake. And yet, oh, no, we can't accept that expired passport. Well, why not? I haven't changed my citizenship. But the date of birth is the same. My name is the same. So after the falderal in the state of California under Governor Gavin Newsom, I think they rechanged his spelling a little bit, is the fact that we're forced into this communist control behavior. So I showed the guy my birth certificate. Oh, we'll take that. No problem. I could have found it on the street. But the point is, it's going to get worse, and the more control is going to get worse unless we fight back. And eventually, they're going to force people into injections, whether you like it or not. Then people will start to die off.
Well, okay, John, that's all good and well. It won't take long, Jim. It's a little off point.
I wonder if I could respond to Paul first.
No, I want you to, but just quickly, if you let me finish, I'll be done in 2-3 sentences. All right. So the main thing that what John just got done saying is important is that one, people will obey. People will obey. And what these people that conducted this operation, which in my opinion is Jewish propaganda start to finish, what they already knew and what they amply demonstrated is that people will believe without evidence. Okay, whether it's the mask or 6 feet apart or any other thing, this is human psychology at work. People will believe things without evidence. That's my premise on virology. There's no evidence that a virus hijacks the cellular machinery and tricks the cell into replicating the virus.
Go ahead.
I'm done.
Would you mind if I answered that?
Please, yes.
So here's, I think it's Paul. Am I correct in that, your first name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure because I didn't hear it. Now, here's what I'm telling you. I have, in their own words, across 6 different reports, their word, evidence. 6 different unrelated reports referencing the same DNA. It does not change. Insofar as explaining the origin of a virus, here it is. Are you ready? It's called Group A, A through 12, Escherichia, E. coli, E. coli phage. Phage. So here's how this works. Now, before you extrapolate and you say, and I'm not directing this at Paul or anyone, I'm saying, for example, before anyone extrapolates and says whether a virus exists or whether it doesn't, that's a discussion in semantics. I'm not interested in that. That's why I stepped away from that discussion. And I went directly into the DNA that I was told to go look for by the origin, the individual who got a Nobel Prize, Luc Montagnier. He's the origin discovery of HIV/AIDS. Okay, he's universally recognized as a Nobel Prize recipient in identifying the DNA in the HIV/AIDS. Debacle.
And what I'm
saying right now is it is the exact same laboratory construct. It is.
Okay, I'm not sure what you're saying.
That's what I'm trying to say. If you allow me to say it, I'll tell you. I expected that we might have a video conference today, so I prepared some slides. I'm prepared to show Paul and the rest of the world. Very simple. You don't have to read an encyclopedia. You don't need to be a doctor. You don't need to be – you could look at the picture and you could say, hey, guess what? Those are 70 ribs in the first spine, and then there are 70 ribs thereafter in the subsequent 9 spines. And the DNA is consistent across all of the 10 spines. It does not deviate in any of the 70 ribs. And then there's a smaller it's not an exercise in semantics. It's something you can point to, and here it is.
It doesn't prove anything.
It doesn't prove anything if you're not looking at it because we're on a radio. That's the first.
I don't need to look. People have done. There used to be a guy that come on all the time and talk about 30,000 base pair sequences, and none of that means anything if there aren't any experiments that show, right, conclusively. And I'm talking about well-done ones, double-blind and so forth, which, by the way, has already been done starting at the turn of the century, right, where they tried to infect people with the secretions and you know, the mucus and the breath and the saliva of very, very sick people, people that had colds and flu. You know, the Army did these experiments again, too, in the 50s. They couldn't do it.
Right.
They produced no more, significant illness. So what I'm saying is this. I'll challenge you in just one second. The evidence, the evidence that viruses or virus particles trick a cell into replicating the virus and that somehow all these new replicated viruses are problematic for the organism and that they have some sort of effect on the metabolism, whether it be to cause inflammation or anything else. This evidence is not there. It doesn't exist. That's what I, and so if you can come up
tell
with
me
an
what,
experiment,
tell me when you're, tell
I'll,
me when
I'll
you're,
read the experiment.
So here.
I'm done.
Here's my response to that.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying to you is this. The evidence is there because it is in this construct. And it shows up consistently in the six studies. And it shows in their own conversations back and forth that they are creating in their own verbiage, their own written
document. What verbiage? I don't care about a document or a conversation.
Well, okay, you obviously don't care, but here, let me help you. Let me help you, Cale. You're looking for evidence? What I'm explaining to you is this. The organism that they've created is in 10 parts. I can point to it. I could say it came from here. It went there, 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 and there. Now, if you'd like evidence of what it is I'm saying, what I'm explaining is this, that these ribs are manufactured in a laboratory. They are cistrons. That's what they call them. That's a fact. Whether you wish to have an argument in semantics about whether or not virus exists, that's aside from the point. I'm pointing directly to the organism. But please let me finish. I let you
Oh,
finish.
My God. Okay. All right.
Okay. So here's what I'm saying. I can point directly to it and say that's it right there. Now,
to what? What are you pointing to? Directly to what?
I'm pointing directly to the construct of the DNA in 10 parts.
Okay, but I'm
talking about evidence that whatever it is you're pointing to causes disease
or illness, and that's what I don't think you seem to get. Jim, here's the problem I have with what I've heard so far.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've heard,
Hang on, Michael. Go ahead, Paul.
I've heard this sort of thing over and over again, not just from your guest, right? They have all these very interesting and in many ways academic and scientific sounding pieces of evidence, including what he just mentioned before about these conversations between people. That's what he said, right? Or, quote, in their own documents. None of that means anything. If you can't show, okay, in other words, it's sort of like if I give you arsenic and you get sick and arsenic actually exists and we can then withdraw the arsenic from your diet and you get well. Well, gee, that's science right there, okay? You know, you want to perform a scientific experiment, stop eating sugar for like 3 to 5 days, okay? And then reintroduce sugar back into your diet and tell me how you feel. This is something that I've done, okay? And sugar is indeed a toxin, and you can feel the effects when you do this sort of thing. That's real science, all right? So if you want to isolate a virus, which they never did, multiple agencies said we don't have a sample to give you when they were presented with requests from various people, and you can see these letters that they publish online where they ask all sorts of laboratories and they ask the CDC and the NIH and everything, hey, can we have some of this COVID-19 virus? I'm sorry, but we don't have any samples to give you. What kind of bioweapon is that? Okay, and it's a pretty piss-poor bioweapon that never made anybody sick, but somehow you needed a vaccine to cure yourself of the virus, and at the same time, the vaccine manufacturers didn't make any claims that it would stop the spread of the virus or that it would, quote, kill the virus, which is really not living anyway, or that it would stop you from showing symptoms of illness if you have the virus. So why are we getting the vaccine? This whole thing is the world of bullshit. It's Jew bullshit. Okay, that's all it's been and that's all it is today. And I'm sorry, in all due respect to all the research you've done, Mike, but if you're just looking at papers online and pictures of ribs and organisms and DNA, in my opinion, that all amounts to signifying nothing, as Shakespeare would say.
Let me ask Mike.
Can I respond?
Go ahead. I'll be brief.
So what you're showing in the video of the New Zealand study and the Montevideo study is the organism manifesting. You can see it. And this is where the white blood clots are coming from, and it's where the red blood clots are coming from. I understand what you're saying, and I understand that people have gone to, say, for example, the CDC, the NIH, and no evidence or no, they have not responded correctly. They haven't shown anything. So here's what I'll say to you. Consider the source. Look at who it is you're asking. Of course, they're not going to show you anything. And I appreciate what it is you're saying. I truly do. Because when I first started down this road, I went forward as I was approached by some foreign intelligence in Australia and New Zealand. And they sent me the paperwork on convicted Harvard chemistry professor Charles Lieber. And Charles Lieber was apprehended. He's convicted. He was apprehended at the airport boarding a commercial airliner with live virus in his luggage. He was apprehended with active members of the Communist Chinese Party.
Oh, my goodness.
And you can look his name up. It's Charles Lieber. Now, his father was Robert Lieber. He was the chief engineer for RCA during wartime. So what I've explained is... So here's what I'm explaining.
You haven't explained anything.
Okay, well, I'm doing my...
I mean, you make a claim about he was caught with a live virus when I just got done telling you that everything they tell us, that the virus is not live. It's inorganic. This goes back to the very basics of research.
So Who is that?
Well, mainstream.
Help me out. Who is that? The same people.
Okay, I'll give you a name.
Everything to lose if they explain what's going on.
Okay, so here's what you do, Jim. I think that any what I would call a neutral hearing of what your guest is responding with to the things I'm saying is he's dancing around the issue, and then he's dropping names like Lieber, and he's saying, for example, that he was caught with a live virus. When all the evidence shows, and by the way, Jim, you should have Sophia on again, and she will distill this down for you and make it clear, all right? In its essence, viruses are crystals. The only way that they can, quote, create viruses, is so-called virus, is through a rendering process where they distill everything down to its crystalline nature or its crystalline function. This is something they can manufacture. Okay, as far as them manufacturing organisms, I don't believe it. It may be true, but I don't believe it. And by the way, he mentioned earlier in the show E. coli, which, of course, is not a virus. E. coli is a living organism which consumes things, excretes things, has respiration of some sort, and reproduces. Viruses supposedly cannot reproduce. They don't consume or excrete anything. They don't have any sort of metabolism, and they cannot reproduce sexually or asexually. This is what all mainstream science, virology, and medical literature says. I'm going by what they say.
Let me bring in John. I want John's thoughts about your exchange. John.
Yeah, I was just listening to the breakdown there, and I was trying to break it down, the knowledge that I have, which is maybe not as extensive from these other guys' backgrounds, because my background's law enforcement and investigations. I'm sitting here trying to break it down in another way of understanding. Is like when a sperm and an ovum get together, they reproduce, and that's cellular reproduction from point of conception. So they're reproducing cellular. But I'm not sure if it breaks down like the viral stuff where it's not a breathing thing, but the other one is. If it's excretions, which is waste products. But the stuff that does get into the system, I've studied with a friend of mine who's a DARPA guy. We talked about these biological things at the cellular level that actually go through the veins of the blood, which is like really hard to believe unless you're getting into alien technology. And that's what we talk about, is alien technology. The shot itself, and I'm trying to separate the shot from the COVID thing because it was made up, but the junk that they put in the shot itself is dangerous. You know, decomposed fetal matter. You guys mentioned cyanide, arsenic, mercury, and all kinds of stuff that's in the shot. That's a separate part of this program or diversion, but it doesn't matter what they call it. It's just another diversion. It's another lie. I don't know why they haven't arrested Fauci this week, and why Operation Warp Speed even got off the ground and nobody did anything. But that gets into the political aspects. You know what I mean?
Nobody.
And I worked at the White House. I'm still, you know, trying to work around the frustration. But yeah, I'm picking up a lot of stuff on these things, and I don't see too many mistakes. But I'm still trying to interpret it. What
Paul
was saying is correct about the distillation process, getting it down to a certain level where it's crystal. But,
The distillation process is as follows. Here it is. Ready? And I was alluding to it earlier with your comment about the fennel seed. Okay? Here's the distillation process. Every variant mutation, every single one of them, starts out in, I call it a switch's brew, a duplex. It is the most intensely studied organism on the planet from the 1800s. And this goes directly to Paul's remarks. Escherichia coli, group A, K through 12. This is what we're talking about. There's no reason to go farther afield from that. That is what this construct is in HIV/AIDS. That is what this construct is in QAnon. That is what this construct is in core in a virus, group A, K through 12. Now, where does the virus come from? So what I've just explained, all of these variant mutations, whether you want to change fennel seeds or whether you want to put some sort of patent on a grass seed or a wheat product or a parakeet, you name it. All of these DNA constructs, every time that DNA is recombined, and that's what they call it, it's called recombinant DNA.
Michael, we're not going to be able to complete. We're not going to be able to complete the conversation today, but I thank you very much for coming on. Paul, you made an excellent call today. And John, of course, always glad to have you as my co.
Don't forget the movie Andromeda Strain.
That's
a great one. I love that one.
And for everyone out there.
There you go.
I'll call you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me in the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.